Now we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 9, please.
Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am him. So I like that one. He said, I am him. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went, and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and received. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them because of him. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that opened thine eyes? He said, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he'd been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that received him, of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he, that is Jesus, was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that, for as I was blind, now I see. You couldn't have a better testimony than that. One thing I know, whereas once I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. And he did not hear. Wherefore would he hear it again? Will he also be his disciple? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that he'd been cast out. And when he found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin, but now ye say we see. Therefore your sin remains. May God bless the reading of these words. So we pray. Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for this record in thy scripture, in the Bible, of one of the miracles performed by thy beloved Son here on earth. We ask thee that the Holy Spirit of God might take these things now and apply them to our hearts. O God, we pray the entrance of thy word might give light this morning. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now for some months I have been speaking about John's Gospel here, although it's 5 months ago since we last talked. But last time, to get the context for our subject this morning, the last time we were in the 8th chapter, and the Lord Jesus made some amazing, amazing claims in that 8th chapter. He said, Before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be the eternal God. He took the name of God, I am, Jehovah, covenant title, I am. And before Abraham was, I am. And when they heard him say this, they took up stones to stone him. That's where we got last time, in verse 49-59. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. That's the context. This is the 6th miracle recorded in John's Gospel. John, out of many miracles, look at chapter 20 a moment, chapter 20 and verse 30. And of course, in the Greek Testament, miracles are called signs. Signs. So it says in verse 30, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That's to say, the Lord Jesus performed many signs, many miracles, and we read of them in the other Gospels. He said, John says he did many signs, but they are not written. I have not written those. I have selected 7 miracles this time. These 7 miracles, these are written, are for that he might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life on his name. So John selected 7 miracles. The turning of the water into wine in Cana of Galilee, chapter 2. The healing of the nobleman's son in Capernaum at the end of chapter 4. The Lord feeding 5,000 people in chapter 6. The Lord walking on the water in chapter 6. Now in this 9th chapter, I left out one in chapter 5, the healing of the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, the impotent man who'd been 38 years lying there waiting to get into that water to try and get some healing from that medicinal water there. And the Lord came along and healed him, and he picked up the bed he was lying on and walked off. But of course he did it on the Sabbath day, and that caused a lot of trouble with the Jews and the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And then this miracle, which is the 6th in order, the healing of the man born blind. There's one more miracle, the 11th chapter, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Of course, there is a sense in which John's Gospel finishes at chapter 20 in the verses I read. These signs are written, that you might believe. There is another chapter, kind of an appendix, you know.
an epilogue. And in that chapter there is another miracle. That's the miraculous drought of 153 fishes, you remember, that came that morning on the shore. So here we are then, well into our John's Gospel, in the last of one of the great signs which John has selected to prove to men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, we have also talked during our talk here about certain periods in John's Gospel, and we have decided that this period is, we call this the period of conflict. There was a period of consideration when men were considering the Son of God here on earth. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Chapter, verse 14 of chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Son of God came into this world, and men are looking at Him. And they consider Him. That's the first four chapters, they're considering Him. And then there's a period of controversy. They start arguing with Him, fighting with Him. But later on it develops. And you find these periods start usually with the word after, verse chapter 7, verse 1, after these things. We're coming into a new period now, and we call it the period of conflict they're fighting with. A little later on we come to the period of crisis. But here, they're fighting him. And they take up stones to stone him. And in that 7th chapter, at the very beginning, where it says the Jews sought to kill him. They want to stamp him out, get rid of him. Because he's doing these wonderful miracles, and the miracles are given that men might believe he's the Son of God, and that's just what's happening. And they didn't want that. They would not accept that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, or the Messiah that should come. And this is where the conflict came. The strange thing is that it's the religious people that objected to him. Not the common people that were getting the blessing, but the religious people, because the things that he did were contrary to rules they had made. God made a rule about the Sabbath. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do anything. Now thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor anything that is in thy house, for the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. You're not to do any work. But they added a lot of things. They added their own rules and regulations as to what a man could do and what a man shouldn't do. And they said that when the Lord healed a man on the Sabbath day, he's working. And this is what upset them. And the Lord argued with me. He said, if you've got your donkey falls in the pit on the Sabbath day, you fetch him out all right. Why shouldn't I help a poor sick man on the Sabbath day? He says the Sabbath was made for man, not the man, not man. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the Lord broke their rules. He didn't break God's rules. No. Now here's the case then. A man born blind. I've heard preachers say that this was the most difficult miracle the Lord performed. I mean, if somebody's lost their sight, there may be some possible chance of restoring it. But this man never had sight. He was born blind. And the Lord gave him sight. Now this is creation. This is the Lord of creation, the Son of God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And he gave this man who never had sight, he gave him eyes. The disciples asked him, because they were coming out of the temple now. He escaped from them, who were going to stone him, try and stone him. He came out and passed by and saw this blind man. And the disciples came and asked him a question. Who did sin? Their argument was that because he was blind, somebody must have sinned. They probably used, going back to the law, it says that God will visit the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. So probably they thought because his parents sinned, he was suffering. But the Lord puts it very clear. He said, no, neither did this man sin, nor his parents. I tell you another strange theory they had. I've read that at that time they had a theory
that a child, even before it was born in its mother's womb, could sin. And they got it from the 20th chapter in Genesis, where Jacob, you know, caught hold of his brother's heel before he was really born. And on that theory, they said a child could sin before he was born. And he said, did this child sin? He was born blind, so if he couldn't sin, he had to do it before he was born. That was one of the theories they had, and the Lord thwarted that theory. And then there were others in those days that had this reincarnation theory, that a man can die and then be born again, come back to life again, and die and come back to life again. Some people hold that today in India and elsewhere, reincarnation of the soul. But the Lord said, no, that isn't it, either. He didn't sin, he buried the sin. But he was born blind that the works of God might be made. He was born blind for the glory of God. That's the case. Now then, let's look at the cure. But wait a minute here. Let's look here at verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In chapter 8, the previous chapter, and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. And then he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And here's the light of heaven, the eternal Son of God, shining. Oh, I love the way it's put in John in the first chapter. It says in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Here's the light of heaven, the eternal Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehending it not. The Lord Jesus, verse 9 of chapter 1, was the true light which lighted every man. It really means, it should be read this way. The Lord Jesus was the true light who, coming into this world, is a light for every man. Now the Lord Jesus came here as the light of heaven. I am the light of the world, he says. He came to be a light for every man. And it could be possible there's someone in our meeting this morning whose eyes are blind, who's never yet had that light revealed to them. This man was born blind. So was I, and so were you. The Bible says we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we were born away from God. We were born in the dark. Man by wisdom knew not God. And all the wisdom of the world, and all the professors of the world, and all the universities of the world, and all that men can teach us, and all the books in all the libraries, they can't give us light. Only God can give us light. We don't know anything apart from this book, the Bible. We're in the dark. And the entrance of thy word, this book, the Bible, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And here's a man born blind. You and I were born blind. We didn't know the way to God. We didn't know the way of salvation. And, how clear it is in the world today. They gave me a subject to speak on. It was really out of my sphere, really. They asked me to speak on the Christian home. Now, a lot of that I can talk about, but when it came to talking about Christian fathers, I've never been a father, but we did it. We talked about the Christian home all the week last week. And children, and training children, and the home, and the home influence. You know, some 25 years ago, the psychiatrist told us, now you don't have to discipline children anymore. Let them express themselves. Let them grow up, do what they want to do. Express themselves. Don't hold them down. You don't discipline. That day's gone. That's old fashioned. Nowadays, children must be allowed to express themselves. Well, 25 years have passed and now they're in their 20s. And they're expressing themselves. All right. You can't walk down the streets of Washington, Chicago, New York, any of our cities. They're expressing themselves. What is murder and rape and sin and wickedness?
That's what the English mean.
The expression is.
And this man was born in sin, and so you, born blind, and so were you now, without God. And the Lord says, I am the light of the world, and as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I feel there's a kind of hidden sense here that the Lord is the light of the world. As long as he was here, it was day. And he was working God's work. And when we get to the 17th chapter, as he went into the Garden of Gethsemane on his way to Calvary, he said, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. He did God's work. That's what he came for. To do the work of God. As long as he, the light, was here and it was day, he was going to do God's work. He says, the night's coming. In a long night, 2,000 years, you know. The Lord's up there, he's the light of heaven. It says so in Revelation 21. The Lamb is the light thereof. He's up there, the light of heaven. And we're down here in a dark world with men blinded that don't know the way of salvation. You know what he says to you and to me? Ye are the light of the world. We who have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we must work the works of God in our day. We've got to go out and tell men and women the story of God's love and bring the light of God to them. So, as the Lord came along and saw him, he did a very simple thing. He spat on the ground, he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Then he spoke to the man. As far as I know, all down through this chapter, the Lord only spoke to this man twice. Once was to deal with his physical sickness, and the second time was to deal with his soul sickness. But the first time, he said, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came healed. How simple. The Lord sat on the ground, because he didn't have paved roads as we've got here today, you know. In the old days, he hadn't got anything like that. He's walking on the ground, on the dust. And he sat on the ground, made clay, and anointed his eyes with the clay. He said, now you go and wash that off. In the pool of Siloam, the place is called Sent. I'm sending you there. And he just obeyed the Lord. I don't know who led him to the pool of Siloam. There must have been somebody there to help him, you know. You see, when a soul comes to Christ, sometimes it needs little help, little counseling. Somebody sit by his side and help him. And somebody took him to the pool of Siloam. And helped him to stoop down and get the water and wash his eyes. And he opened his eyes, first time in his life, and he came seeing. What a wonderful thing. This is what the Lord Jesus did with his physical sickness. He gave him his sight. And then they begin to ask him questions, and I love the progress in this man's testimony. Now look at verse 11. Verse 10. They said therefore unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man. You see the progress here. By and by he's gonna believe he's the Son of God, but this is where he starts. A man that is called Jesus made clay. A man that is called Jesus. Now this is the wonderful story of Bethlehem. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A man that is called Jesus. The Son of God, the Eternal Son, became a man and was called Jesus. He was born at Bethlehem and he grew up. Jesus means a Savior. And he was called Jesus because he was going to save his people from their sins. A man called Jesus. Now, there's some things in the world today that are kind of irksome to Christians who've known the Lord for many years and who adore and worship Him as the eternal Son of God. When I hear so many people talking about Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, and not calling him Lord Jesus, it kind of hurts me somehow. But you know, some of these people, that's as far as they've got. A man called Jesus. Let's pray for them all, that they'll go on and grow to know that Jesus is not only the man called Jesus, but he's the eternal Son of God. This is where he started. His eyes were open, and he begins to see things. A man called Jesus.
They gave him a pretty rough time, you know, these priests and religious leaders. And they wanted him to say that the man that healed them was a sinner. That healed him was a sinner. Man, he never met anybody like him in all his life. He's the most wonderful man I ever met. He gave me my sight. I'm not defending against him.
And then he goes down further. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man, what sayest thou of him that opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now he's making progress, you see. First he called him a man, now he calls him a prophet. Now, a prophet was a man sent from God. A prophet was a man who came to tell out God's wishes and God's will and God's word to God's people. He came with God's message, a prophet, to God's people. And he said, he must be a man sent from God. He must be a prophet. Well, that's just what he was. The first chapter tells us the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. He was sent from God. He was God's voice in his day. As long as it's day, he says, I must work the works of God. The night cometh when no man can work, and he is the light of the world shining. And a man says he's a prophet. Well, that's progress anyhow. But let's go further down. They called the parents then. The parents had no doubt at all. They said, is this your son? Yeah, it's our son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was born blind. We admit that. Well, how did he get his sight? They said, oh, we don't know how he got his sight. But that's our son that was born blind and now he sees. They should have said, praise God. But they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews cast them out. Then they get the man again. And they ask him further down, we know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this one, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now you see, he called him a man called Jesus, a prophet. Now he's beginning to tell us that he must be a man come from God, because he says, it is a wonderful thing, marvelous thing. Ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. We know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worship of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of the blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now he's progress. He's a man called Jesus. He's a prophet. Now he says he's from God. See how he's learning? He's learning as he goes along. This man is from God. And these are the lessons we've got to learn. When we are born into this world and born blind, and we have no knowledge of the things of God and the Word of God, and we don't know the way of salvation, but we hear about Jesus. We hear about a man called Jesus, and Jesus means to save his people from their sins, and so we hear the wonderful story of the cross of Christ. And we hear how the Lord Jesus, at the place called Calvary, bore our sins in his own body upon the cross. He's a Savior. He took our place. He was our substitute. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all sin and all unrighteousness, and we are sinners. For the wrath of God fell upon him, he who never sinned. The Holy Son of God, he took our place, and the wrath of God fell upon him. And we learn that he was sent from God for this very purpose, that he might put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Let's go further down in the man's story.
If he were not of God, he could do nothing, verse 33. And then the Lord finds him. They cast him out. And when Jesus heard that they cast him out, verse 35, he heard they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now he's starting to deal with his soul. He dealt with his physical ailment, his eyes, but now he's dealing with going deeper and deeper and deeper. This is his second meeting with the Lord. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Oh, I like some of the things he told you. He said, Who is he, Lord? I love that. And he said, Who is he, Lord? That's what Saul of Tarsus said. When the Lord Jesus revealed himself, and he looked up and he said, Who art thou, Lord? That shows submission. When you call a person Lord, it means that he's over you. He's your ruler. He's the master. And when we call the Lord Jesus Lord, it means he's the master of our life. A man called Jesus, now he puts the word Lord on. So we got the Lord Jesus, we're making great progress now. This is wonderful. A man called Jesus, but that man was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he was a prophet, sent from God. Now he calls him Lord. Who art thou, Lord? And he said this, he answered, the Lord said, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, you are as before. He couldn't have said that, didn't he? He couldn't have said, Thou hast seen him, but he was absolutely blind. He couldn't see. The Lord opened his eyes that he could see him. Oh, as you try to lead a soul to Christ and you see this wonderful progress. You bring a soul along and try and tell them about Christ and they're blind and they don't know and they can't see. And the Bible is a closed book. You can read it and read it and get nothing out of it. And then as you lead them to Christ and the Holy Spirit's working on them, suddenly their eyes become kind of open. They begin to see things. And this man can now look at the Son of God. How wonderful. Before that, he couldn't even see him. The world by wisdom knew not God, and men can't see him until the Holy Spirit opens their eyes, and the Lord works on them, their eyes begin to open. And he looked at him, and he said, Thou hast both seen him. And he did. And it is he that talketh. What a revelation from God. He couldn't have seen him a little while before, but now he sees him, and he says, it's he that, this is the Son of God that's talking to me? Why, this is the best man I ever met. He's done more for me than anybody. And what did he say? He said, Lord, I believe and he worships him. What prophet? Isn't it wonderful? A man called Jesus, a prophet, a man who was sent of God, and now he bowed at his feet and called him Lord. Twice he says, Lord. First he said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe him? And now he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. That's about as far as you can get. You know, you can't get higher than him. To kneel at the Lord's feet and worship him. That's what he did. And all this happened when the Son of God dealt with him. First of all, opened his eyes that he might see. And then opened his heart and soul that he might gaze upon the Son of God and believe. Now look at the word there. This word comes 93 times in John's Gospel. Some have called it the Gospel of Belief. Look at it. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Can you say that? I wonder if every one of us today can say that from the bottom of our heart this morning. Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John says these miracles, these things are written that he might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Do you think this man was saved? Do you think he was saved? I'm absolutely sure he was saved. I'm sure he was saved. Because he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
You say, now wait a minute.
He didn't join the church. He's not a member of any denomination now. He hasn't been baptized yet. Did he say? Now he was, you know, in the Jewish set up there, but they cast him out. They excommunicated him. So now he's right outside of the religion of Israel. And the Lord meets him outside. And he says, I am. That's what he says. He said, I am the Son of God. That's the message of chapter 8 we were talking about 5 months ago. If he believe not that I am, he should die in this place. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And he revealed himself as the Son of God, the eternal Son. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. I like his testimony when they argued with him. You can't beat this kind of a testimony. He said, I don't know much. He said, I don't know anything. But one thing I know. Once I was blind, now I can see. And that's the argument that can kill and beat every other eye. And you see men and women walking in the paths. You see, you know what I saw Monday night? I saw two men. They were colored men. And they're on bail waiting for trial. And they're both on trial for murder. I saw them both accept Christ last Monday night. And they're both on trial for murder. Got involved in the dope racket. One young man there, smart young man, he was actually earning $1,000 a day in the dope racket. $1,000 a day. Riding in a beautiful Cadillac, the best dressed man in all the ghetto district where he lived up there. A black man. The idol of all the young black fellows up there. I want to be like he is. And what was he? A dope pusher. They want to be like he is because he had a Cadillac, he had good clothes, and he could do all sorts of things, he had money. And the day is ready to stand trial for murder. Murdered in the dope racket. He's in the shooting affair. But I saw him accept Christ. I saw him raise his hand. I saw him go and speak to the preacher. I talked to him, shook his hand. He accepted Christ and he said. Now that man can say, once I was dead in sins and filthiness. But something's happened to me. I can see a great change in saving Christ. Once I was blind, but now I see. I think for some of us that were saved and brought up in Christian homes and saved when we were young, we don't know anything of the tremendous change it means when a man comes out of the gutter of sin and iniquity and God saves him and changes his life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. And this man who was in darkness and blindness and blackness and knew and couldn't know or see anything. He said, the one thing I know now. I was once like that. But now I can see. Thank God. Why do you trust that every one of us can say these very words? Once I was blind. I couldn't understand this book. I didn't know the way. Oh, even though brought up in a Christian home, I was blind. I used to pray and ask God to save me. But I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I had to do to be saved, although I was going every night to meetings like this every Sunday night, going to Sunday school. But I didn't know. Until one day the Lord touched my eyes and they were open. And like a flash of light from heaven, I found it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
What a wonderful story. The last but one of the miracles in John's Gospel that we're getting towards the end of this period of conflict between the religious leaders. Of course, he was cast out of the synagogue and his parents were cast out, but thank God when he got outside, the Lord was there. And that's always the case. And there are many people in the world today, when they accept Christ as Savior, they pay a tremendous price, you know. We don't know anything about it. When a Jew gets saved, he pays the price. Often when a Catholic gets saved, he pays a tremendous price. He's put right out. Because it's contrary to the religion he's been brought up in. Thank God that you and I live in a land of liberty and freedom, and we can accept the Lord Jesus. And it may be some of our friends will put us out, you know. I don't think that black man can go back in the old gang he was in now. He can't. He's a new man in Christ Jesus. We are different. He's been eating with Christians. And they're going to have some Bible readings to help these fellows and bring them along for Christ. So that's the story of this sixth miracle. The man that was born blind. May God write it on our hearts. We should be one here this morning, still out of sight. As you go out and you shake hands, just say, "Will you help me?" That's all you need to say. "Will you help me?" And we'll be glad to sit down with this wonderful book and show you how to be saved. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for thine own wonderful word, the Bible. We thank thee the Lord Jesus became a man so he could say, a man called Jesus. But Lord, we thank thee that the man called Jesus was the one sent from heaven as God's beloved Son. And we thank thee for the moment in our lives when our eyes were opened and we saw and believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Write this on our hearts, Lord. And grant that even here this morning, someone might find out this great miracle, that he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. We seek thy parting blessing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.